Hey there, future friends. I'm back, and not a moment too soon, because we have the next movie in my favorite movie series of all time, and I am here to talk about it. This is episode 306 of Future Flicks with Billiam. Alright everyone, welcome to the show. Yeah, yes, I've been gone for over a month, and or maybe about a month, I'm not quite sure. A lot of stuff happened back to back to back. I switched jobs. I may have mentioned my real awful manager that took over the store I was working at, and I moved stores, and the only opening was a night shift job. And so I took it just to get away from him, and I'm one of like 10 people that fled the store. But trying to find a way to do the podcast when I'm working at nights is really hard, because that's how I used to do it when I first started out. But then I had been recording at night with my day job for so long that I kind of forgot how that worked. And then also my dad finally had one of his two procedures. He had a new heart valve put in. That was a big deal. So now I am back. And like I said, not a moment too soon, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, aka Afterlife 2, is coming out this week, and I am going to go see it on Thursday, and I am so, so very excited. But guess what, my friends? We have other films coming out. Yes, we do have more movies coming out, and I am here to tell you what they are. If you are new to the show, let me tell you how it works. I tell you about all the movies coming out during the week. I tell you what the movie's about and who's in it. But I have two different categories. I have the limited releases and the wide releases and interesting indies. In the limited releases, that's it. I tell you what the movie is, what it's about, and who's in it, said and done. Sometimes I give a couple thoughts, but that's about it. In the wide releases and interesting indies, that's every limited release that I thought was interesting, and every single wide release and major streaming release, no matter how good or bad it looks. In that section, I tell you what the movie is, what it's about, who's in it, and then I give my thoughts on it, and I give it a score, which I call the Billiam's Interest Level Score, aka the Bill Score. The Bill Score can go anywhere from a 0 for those awful-looking films to an 11 for those movies that bring it up that extra notch. Then I give you a pick of the week, which I say, hey friends, if you want to go see one movie this week that looks interesting, this is it. And yes, sometimes it is the big blockbuster, because let's face it, that is a good use of a movie theater, because some of these movies, especially the more independent and A24, Neon, Lionsgate movies like that, those are sometimes also fine at home and they're just as good. But without further ado, my friends, let's jump into the limited releases with a movie called Riddle of Fire. Three mischievous children embark on a woodland odyssey when their mother sends them on an errand. This stars as for the adults, Charles Halford from The Outer Banks, and no one else of note. The kids are all played by relative newcomers, Lorelei Olivia Mote, Skylar Peters, and Charlie Stover. This is co-starring and directed by Weston Razzulli, who made shorts like Shades of Paradise and Jolly Boy Friday. This is his first feature film. So this could be one of those indie darling movies where everyone ends up really liking it, but just the trailer didn't do it for me. I just couldn't get excited based on that. And especially with a director with no pedigree. Again, nothing wrong with that. Look at the writer and director, Cord, who did American Fiction. That was my favorite movie from 2023, and no pedigree there. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it's just a good judge. Next up is a movie called Femme, follows Jules, who is targeted in a horrific homophobic attack, destroying his life and career. Sometime after that event, he encounters Preston, one of his attackers, in a gay sauna. He Wants Revenge. This stars Nathan Stewart Jarrett from the 2021 Candyman, George McKay from 1917, John McCrea from Cruella, and Nima Telegani from Heartstopper. This is written and directed by Sam H. Freeman and Ing Chun Ping, who both wrote and directed the short that this movie is based on. Next up is a movie called Free Time. Approaching the end of his 20s and his relative youth, a man decides to quit his cushy desk job and embrace life, only to realize he has no idea what to do with his newfound freedom. This stars no one of note. And to be honest, this trailer looked more cringy than anything, so if cringy comedies are your kind of thing, and really dry delivery in the comedy, this could be for you, so check that out. This is writer and director Ryan Martin Brown's first feature-length film. After that, my friends, we have a movie called Observer. A group of demons lay claim to a troubled youth while a good-natured spirit fights to defend her. This stars no one of note and is written and directed by Steven Sander, and this is his first feature film as well. Two more movies left in this section, my friends, and next up is The Fox. At the dawn of World War II, a young soldier encounters a wounded fox cub and takes it with him to occupied France. The story is of an unlikely friendship. This is a movie from Germany and is directed by Adrian Goiginger or something. It's spelled G-O-I-Ginger. So, no clue. And finally, in the limited section, my future friends, is a movie called Sentinel. Years after an alien invasion almost extinguished human mankind? Do you people not see what you're writing? Refugee on a secret base on the moon, three... What? Okay, so remember, I copy my synopsises straight from IMDb, and this is what they wrote verbatim. Years after an alien invasion almost extinguished human mankind, refugee on a secret base on the moon, three heroes decide to jump into a time travel in the desperate attempt to save the survivors, but they don't know that the Sentinel is waiting for them. What the hell? By the way, follow me on TikTok if you don't already. I just recorded a short video about that and how stupid it is. So this movie stars no one of note and is directed by Stefano Milia. So my friends, we actually have 15 movies that made it into the next section. So let's actually do 5 of them and then we'll take our break. So we're jumping right into the wide releases and interesting indies with the movie called Limbo. This is a limited release. Limbo follows the investigation of a 20-year-old Outback cold case murder by jaded detective Travis Hurley. This is a movie from Australia and stars Simon Baker from The Mentalist and is written and directed by Ivan Sen, who did two movies by the name of, or more than that, but the looked like the two biggest ones were Mystery Road and Goldstone. This is a police procedural, I wouldn't call it a police procedural. It's more of a just a gumshoe style mystery with this kind of older and, like it says, jaded detective who's trying to find out what happened. The whole movie's in black and white. And I like Simon Baker and I like this role for him, so I do want to give it a shot. It doesn't look amazing, but it looks like one of those movies, if you have the chance to see it, that it could really be worth your time. I loved the way the black and white looked, and it gave the Australian outback this even more desolate feeling, more desolate than it already is. And if you've watched a movie or seen a documentary that takes place there, that's an impressive feat. So I think black and white was a very smart move for that. And Limbo gets a 6 out of 11. Next up, we have a movie called You'll Never Find Me coming to Shudder. Patrick, a strange and lonely resident, lives in a mobile home at the back of an isolated trailer park. After a violent storm, a mysterious young woman appears at his door seeking shelter from the elements. What could possibly go wrong for him? Yeah, she's not the one in danger, apparently. This stars no one of note and is directed by Josiah Allen and written by and co-directed by Indiana Bell. This is their first feature film. On Fire is the next movie. It's from Peacock. This follows a family who lives in a trailer home in the woods and are suddenly confronted by a wildfire. Survival becomes their main objective. This stars Fiona Dourif from Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, Asher Angel from Shazam, Lance Henriksen from Aliens, and starring and directed by Peter Facinelli from Twilight, and he directed two movies, The Vanished and Breaking and Exiting. This movie gives me the feeling of a super Christian movie, but I couldn't find any proof of that, not from the history of the director, not from the production company or anything like that, but it just gives me that feeling. And if you know what I'm talking about when I talk about those Christian movies, those movies that usually go around playing in mega churches and stuff, go watch a trailer for this and see if you get the same vibe. But this movie is talking about something that I think doesn't get talked about enough, is that when we have a forest fire sweeping through an area, or we have like a tornado coming or a hurricane coming or something, you hear all these stories about these people who don't leave and then have to be evacuated later, and all of us who think we know what we would do in that situation just talk them. It's not that easy, because in this movie, these people are barely holding it together. And if they lose the house, they'll lose everything. They might as well be homeless. Well, they will technically be homeless, but do they have insurance on the house? If they do, will it pay enough to get a new house or trailer still? Like, it could ruin their lives, and they want to try and stay and defend it. And I do think that is an interesting thing to talk about in this movie, because it's something I think we need to realize, and that's why some people make those decisions. Other than that, it actually doesn't look very interesting. I just mentioned it here because it is on Peacock, and this gets a 5 out of 11. And I didn't give You'll Never Find Me one. You'll Never Find Me looks kind of interesting. I did put it on here because it's Shudder, and that gets a 5.5 out of 11. All right, my future friends, the last movie, hold on, I can't math. Oh, second to last movie we're talking about before we go into our break is called The Casa Grande's Movie. This is a Netflix original. After a surprise family trip to Mexico derails Ronnie Anne's birthday plans, she is determined to prove she's old enough to do her own thing, even if it means confronting an ancient preteen demigod whose angst has apocalyptic potential. This features the voices of Carlos Peña Vega, Sumali Montano, Isabella Alvarez, and Roxana Ortega. This is directed by Miguel Puga, who is a creator of the Casa Grandes, which I guess is a cartoon. This doesn't look bad, but it just looks like a movie version of a popular kids show. I don't even know if it's popular. I know it's not Bluey popular, but not a lot of things are. This looks fine. It kind of gives me the vibes of the cartoons I used to watch as a kid. I do think if I was a kid and this came out, I would watch it. But unless you're a parent and your kids watch this show, I would 100% skip this. And for that reason, this gets a 5 out of 11. Next up, and the final movie before the break, my future friends, is one called Exhuma. A shaman is offered a large amount of money to move a tomb. He moves it with his companion, Ji Guan. This is directed by, and I'm sorry for destroying this name, Jae Hyun Jung, who directed movies like House of the Disappeared, The Priests, and 12th Assistant Deacon. They all look like horrors. So this trailer was kind of all over the place, and I almost put it in the limited release section, but something about the coolness of this horror movie from South Korea made me go, fuck yeah, let's do this. Even though the basic ass premise that they did, and in proper English, mind you, I'm looking at you, Sentinel. Even though the basic ass premise they did sounds boring, the trailer looks pretty interesting. We just have a lot of maybe demons, maybe ghosts, stuff like that going on with that kind of Asian influence in it. I don't want to say just Korean, because I noticed that with Korean horrors, Japanese horrors, there's this similarity in the presentation from their supernatural horrors. So it kind of gives me vibes of like Ju-on and Ringu and things like that, even though this is South Korean. The reviews for this that are already coming in are mostly positive. We have 7s, 8s, 9s, a few 10s, or actually quite a few 10s. Like anything 6 and below is a little more rare, and the highest percentage is 25.4% on, this is on IMDb, mind you, rating it at an 8. So, you know what? I'm down. And Exhuma gets a 6 out of 11. Well, my future friends, that's it for the first half of the show. Please stay tuned as we hear a word from our friends at the Somewhat Nerdy Radio Podcast. And we're doing fine with Robbie and Lisa. We'll be back.
Are you looking for a nerd podcast that touches on every walk of nerd culture? Well, look no further. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is the podcast for you. We cover nerd culture, news, new movie reviews, bad movie reviews, video games, comics, with sprinkles of nerdy nostalgia throughout. Somewhat Nerdy Radio is a flagship podcast of the Somewhat Nerdy Podcast Network. Find us on every podcast app or stream it on somewhatnerdy.com. Good journey, nerds.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Robbie. And we host a show called
We're Doing Fine. We're friends from across the ocean.
I'm from Scotland.
And I'm from California.
Join us every week as we chat about biscuits.
You mean cookies.
Brexit.
Whatever's going on here. Who knows?
Almost dying.
Why we're single.
Popular culture.
And basically everything and anything that can distract us from this postmodern hellscape we're all living in. Because
we're doing fine.
We're back with the final movies this week. 9 movies left to talk about, so let's talk about one called Kumiko the Treasure Hunter. This is a limited release. And if it sounds familiar, yeah, it is familiar to you then. A jaded Japanese woman discovers a hidden copy of 1996's movie Fargo on VHS, believing it to be a treasure map indicating the location of a large case of money. This is the 10th anniversary re-release of the film, and it stars Rino Kikuchi from Pacific Rim. If you love this film and you want a chance to see it on the big screen, this is the time for you. But for everyone else, I do think it looks really good, but at the same time, do you need to spend time to go and see this in the theaters when you can eventually probably watch it at home? Maybe your local library has it. Maybe it's available for streaming somewhere. Who knows? But as far as seeing it in the theaters this week, this gets a 7.5 out of 11. I didn't go too in-depth into that movie because it's something from 10 years ago, and we have a lot of new stuff coming out, so I thought I would save my time. So instead, let's talk about a movie called Roadhouse, coming to Amazon Prime on the 21st. So by the time you hear this episode, it's already out. Ex-UFC fighter Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Key roadhouse, only to discover that paradise is not all it seems. This stars Jake Gyllenhaal from Brokeback Mountain, Daniela Melchior from The Suicide Squad, or Melchior. Melchior, probably, not Choir. Choir is spelled different. Whatever. Conor McGregor, you may recognize him from being a twat on TV. Billy Magnuson from Game Night. Jessica Williams from Booksmart. Joaquin de Almeida from Desperado. And musician Post Malone. This is directed by Doug Liman, who did American Made and Edge of Tomorrow. And everyone so far that I trust who has seen this says it's good. Especially so many people going into this so scared that they're going to ruin a Patrick Swayze classic. Which, come on, it's bullshit. I could remake Roadhouse with my old cell phone and just some kids from a high school drama club and release it nationwide, and I wouldn't ruin your movie, you know what I mean? In the same sense that no matter what they release in Star Wars or Marvel isn't ruining Star Wars and Marvel, it's still out there for you to like. I think this is a safe bet, but I also think if you're so insecure about your favorite movies, then easy peasy, skip this. But for the rest of us who can appreciate something outside of our strictly held love of classic movies, we can enjoy this, and if you can't, more for us. Roadhouse gets an 8 out of 11. I'm going to continue to talk about it for a little bit more. I do like Jake Gyllenhaal for this. He's a really good actor. Like I've said many, many, many times, the only time I've ever left a theater of my own accord was because of, or okay, not the only time, but one of the few times I've left him theater from my own accord is because his acting in Nightcrawler was just so disturbing I had to leave. And so that blows my mind that he was that good in it. Next up, my future friends, we have a movie called Shirley on Netflix. Shirley Chisholm makes a trailblazing run for the 1972 Democratic presidential nomination after becoming the first black woman elected to Congress. This stars Regina King from If Beale Street Could Talk, the late great Lance Reddick from John Wick, Terrence Howard from Hustle and Flow, Lucas Hedges from Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Christina Jackson from Devotion, and Andre Holland from Moonlight. This is written and directed by John Ridley, who produced and wrote Ben-Hur and 12 Years a Slave. Hasn't done much directing, or at least much notable directing. And yeah, okay, I'm down. I really do like these political or these civil rights-based biopics. I really like these. I haven't seen Rustin yet. I should see Rustin, especially because I think I mentioned this on a previous episode. A former coworker of mine at my last store, Zach, he is a produce manager, went to college with Coleman Domingo, and he pulled up a picture on his phone of him and Coleman Domingo in college in a bar, and it blew my mind. I'm like, oh, that's that girl I've seen in so many movies who's bound to win an Oscar one day. But yes, about Shirley, I love these kind of movies. I love biopics, especially focusing on politics and especially civil rights. I think those are really, really cool. And these are stories we have to tell. These are stories we have to get out there, because we have to push these stories of, look at what these people did. Look at how influential they were. Look at what they did, even though their lives were on the line, because disgusting pig-headed racists were threatening their lives. And why were their lives being threatened? Because they wanted equality for people of color. Oh no, how dare they ask for something so crazy? But Regina King is a good actress. Lance Reddick, Terrence Howard, Lucas Hedges, all really good. But I think Regina King can more than hold her own in the lead of a movie. And this looks like, even though it follows the basic formula of a biopic in this sense, I do still think it looks good. So if you like these kind of movies, definitely check this out. Hell, if you haven't seen Rustin yet, which I haven't, maybe make it a double feature. Shirley and then Rustin. Good time had by all, even if you get a little angry at all the racism. Because what I have to remember is, even though I get angry just watching it, they had to live through it. So you know what? I can watch a movie for that. Shirley, it's an 8 out of 11. And next up is a movie called Late Night with the Devil. Yes, you may have already heard about this. If you are a fan of movies, if you are a cinephile, if you, like me, follow people on TikTok or YouTube or other platforms that love movies, you've probably already heard of this, and I do think it looks really good. So The Late Night with the Devil, limited release, a live television broadcast in 1977, goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. This stars David Dastmalchian from The Suicide Squad, and is written and directed by Cameron and Colin Cairns, I think C-A-I-R-N-E-S, who did two movies, more than two, but the two I chose to talk about are 100 Bloody Acres and Scare Campaign. So the first thing that I noticed about this trailer is that it looks like it has come from the 70s. So not just the costumes and the set pieces and everything like that, but the quality of the video at times when we're seeing things through the way that someone at home would have been watching it. Those scenes looked like it's straight out of the 70s. And then sometimes we see behind the scenes where it looks a little more modern, but not super modern, where it would take you out of it. It just gives a little more realistic lens to it, where we can tell that, oh, now we're behind the scenes, but before we were watching it through the TV. But we have this movie about this late night show that's kind of losing ratings. And I think at one time, maybe it was a big deal. And they're trying to boost their ratings. So what do? They perform an exorcism on TV. Why not? What could possibly go wrong? I don't know. I'm just a man behind a microphone. What could I possibly know? No, I lied. I know it can go wrong. The demon could f*** with them. I am 100% here for this movie. I am. And I think that I want to champion movies like this, because we get... I love what they do on the Blumhouse side of things. I love the A24 horrors and things like that. But I think Late Night with the Devil gives us an idea that so much more can be done in different genres. When people are sitting there bitching, saying that, oh, all Hollywood does is remakes and reboots and comic book movies, you can tell them to shut the f*** up. Because there's plenty of interesting things out there. They're just being lazy assholes. The Late Night with the Devil looks like it's a good time had by all. Unless, of course, you don't want to get possessed by a demon. And you're weird like that. But for the rest of us, I think it's going to be a good time. And something that you could possibly save for Halloween if it's out on streaming by that point. If you have a chance to see this in the theaters, why not? Late Night with the Devil gets an 8 out of 11. All right, next up, my future friends, is a movie called Luca. Yes, Luca. This is a nationwide re-release. On the Italian Riviera, an unlikely but strong friendship grows between a human being and a sea monster disguised as a human. And it's weird because that's not entirely the premise. I mean, it kind of is, but did you see Luca? You should have. It was really cute. This features the voices of Jacob Tremblay, Jack Dylan Grazer, Emma Berman, Jim Gaffigan, and Sacha Baron Cohen. So yes, Luca, did this movie come out during COVID? I can't remember. Because I know quite a few of the Pixar movies came out during COVID, and I know that they're getting re-releases, but I don't know if it's like all the Pixar movies. So this might be a COVID one. And it was cute. It was good. I liked it. Luca is never going to be on my list of favorite animated movies. It's just not that good. But it is good enough to be maybe on my top 100, or let's be less dramatic, top 50 animated movies or something like that. You know, it's a good film. It made me laugh. It was predictable yet wholesome. It was something that I think the whole family could watch and enjoy. That if you haven't seen this already, and you want to take your family out to a good movie this week, why not try this one? Like, honestly, it's a good shot. Even though you can watch it from home, you could buy it, you can watch it on Disney+, it's still worth a watch in the theaters if you can make a day out of it, if you can do something fun, if you can make memories with your family, I think that is worth it. I did like Luca. I gave it a higher score than I'm going to give it as a re-release, because remember, I am taking into account how it's going to be in the theater, and the fact that you can watch it at home is going to knock some points off. So as a nationwide re-release and seeing this again in theaters, I give it a 6 out of 11. Even though I gave the movie an 8, I think it was quite fun, just not my favorite. Next up is a movie called You Can Call Me Bill, a limited theatrical release and the final limited this week. An intimate portrait of William Shatner's personal journey over 9 decades on this earth. You Can Call Me Bill strips away all the masks he's worn to embody countless characters and reveals the man behind it all. So this is a documentary about William Shatner, and I really, really want to see this. But with a limited release, when is it going to come to my area? That's a question. And will I even remember to look for it? That's another issue with these limited movies, because they don't all come out at the same time at every theater that's going to hold it. It moves around sometime. Like my local indie theater that I mentioned on quite a few episodes is no longer with us. It was sold, and I don't know what's there now. Maybe it's just an empty building. But I don't know where my next indie theater is going to be where I could potentially watch some of these movies. And even then, even if I have a theater near me that would play it, when is it going to get it is always going to be the question. So that's a problem with limited films. But I think this is a movie you should put on your radar if you like Star Trek, if you've ever liked anything William Shatner has done. Are you TJ Hooker's biggest fan? Who knows? Are you a huge fan of his episode of The Twilight Zone, where there's something on the wing? William Shatner is an icon, and this looks like a very good documentary to watch. And why not wait till it comes out to stream or to buy and make a night of it and watch this movie along with For the Love of Spock, which is available to stream, I believe, on Tubi and maybe a few other places. let's see, Tubi, Sling TV, Roku Channel, and then you can rent it at a bunch of other places for a couple bucks. That's the Spock one, not the William Shatner one. That's not quite ready yet. But from the look of this trailer, it goes pretty in-depth about his career and talks to him about it. And I really like that. And I think this is going to be a hit. So that's why You Can Call Me Bill gets a 9 out of 11. 3 movies left, my future friend. So let's talk about one called Sleeping Dogs. No, not the video game. That's what I thought, but not the video game. This is a nationwide release. An ex-homicide detective with memory loss is forced to solve a brutal murder only to uncover chilling secrets from his forgotten past. This stars Russell Crowe from Gladiator, Karen Gillan from Doctor Who, Martin Kosecz from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Tommy Flanagan from Sons of Anarchy, and Elizabeth Blackmore from Evil Dead, the 2013 reboot. Which, by the way, I know I've said this before, but it still blows my mind that the Evil Dead series is so solid. Army of Darkness, great film, please don't get me wrong, but Army of Darkness is really the outlier because it doesn't really fit thematically. Still a great film. Anyway, Sleeping Dogs is an interesting idea because we have this cop, and even though a cab, we are following this cop who's starting to have memory issues. He's suffering from memory loss, and he gets this experimental treatment to fix it. And he is told that, hey, so do some things that would jog your memory. Do some, look at some old photo books and look at some photo albums. Look at some old things. Revisit places you used to love. Try to jog that memory and make it work. However, what he does is he looks at old case files because he was a cop. And he starts to figure things out. And I have a feeling, based on the trailer, that some of it is he's going to figure out shitty things he did and he forgot about. Ways maybe he skirted the law or kind of took shortcuts. But also, I think he's going to figure out things that he couldn't figure out the first time. And I don't think there's a better actor for a role like this like Russell Crowe. He is a very, very talented actor. And I think we need more Russell Crowe love in Hollywood. And hopefully a movie like this will remind someone that, oh yeah, he is good. And maybe, just maybe, we should put him in things. But Sleeping Dogs looks like an interesting film to watch one day. It'll probably come to some streaming service so you could watch it at your own leisure. But I really don't think this is the type of movie you need to go out and search for. I don't think it's worth your time unless you're already going to the theater and you don't want to watch one of the other two this week. It looks good, but it also looks like it'll be just as good from home. Sleeping Dogs gets a 7 out of 11. Oh yeah, I forgot, there is a Sleeping Dogs movie in the works, or at least pre-production, based on the video game Sleeping Dogs, and Donnie Yen is attached thus far. So I realized I forgot to talk about the director of this film, and now that I looked into him, I'm a little more iffy about it. He was one of the writers for Allegiant. Yes, one of the detergent movies. I meant Divergent, but yeah, I mean, come on, guy. Work a little, do something a little better. This is his directorial debut, but he also, he wrote Tower Heist, or at least worked on the story for the Tower Heist, which I thought was a fun film. He did Exodus, Gods and Kings, and The Transporter Refueled as a writer. So, hey, we'll see what he has as a director. The trailer, check it out. It doesn't look that bad. Next up, my friends, the final movie that's not the pick of the week, but is also very worthy of being the pick of the week, is called Immaculate. This is a nationwide release. Cecilia, a woman of devout faith, is warmly welcomed to the picture-perfect Italian countryside, where she is offered a new role at an illustrious covenant. But it becomes clear to Cecilia that her new home harbors dark and horrifying secrets. This stars Sydney Sweeney from Euphoria, Alvaro Morte from Money Heist, and Simona Tabasco from The White Lotus. This is directed by Michael Mohan, who did a TV show called Everything Sucks. You may have heard about this movie after Madam Web came out, because Sydney Sweeney was in Anyone But You with super handsome guy. What is his name? I can remember his name. Glenn Powell. I had to look it up. So she kind of made waves with Anyone But You with Glenn Powell, as they're this super attractive couple. And then she did Madam Web, which is a critically panned movie by everyone. Even people who like stupid movies f***ing hated that film. I have not seen it yet. I will watch it one day and I'll talk about it on the show. But apparently she was using her fame from Madam Web and Anyone But You to try and get Immaculate made, or at least pump up the name of Immaculate. So we have this movie about this nun who's at a nunnery, which is a word I never heard of until my wife told me about it. And I thought it was just a UK thing. And then I heard someone in here in America say nunnery too. So, okay. But she becomes sick. She starts to throw up in the morning. Weird. She starts to get other weird symptoms. And she goes into the doctor and she's pregnant. But how is she pregnant? How is she pregnant, you may ask? How is this nun pregnant? It must be immaculate conception. And then so her life basically changes because, oh my God, she was immaculately concepted. I don't know if that's how you say it. But then she starts noticing people in masks watching her from the corners. People start dying. She starts seeing things. People are like looking at her really weird, and other people are like worshiping her like a god. And it looks like things get really weird for her. So critically, this movie is getting mixed reviews. Some people are really liking it. Some people are saying 100% skip this, but I think it looks fun. I think this looks interesting. I like interesting horrors. I think horror is a genre that doesn't nearly get enough love. And those of us who do like horror, or people like Raz, who really, really, really love horror from Raz's Midnight Macabre, who really like horror, kind of get looked at. It was like, okay, what's you obviously have some sort of malfunction because you love horror so much. But no, that's not the case. We just love it because they're good movies. But Immaculate looks like more of a cerebral horror, if you will, but also possible dealings with cults or maybe even demonic stuff. Who knows? Immaculate looks like it's a good time. But if you don't want to watch my pick of the week, this could be the pick for you. Immaculate gets an 8 out of 11. Okay, my friends, I was going to talk more about Immaculate, but I just want to get to it. I can't wait. I already bought my tickets. I already bought my tickets for this. And I'm so f***ing excited. The pick of the week, say it with me, you know what it is. The pick of the week on Future Flicks with Billiam is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. What else could it be? I'm shaking. I am so excited for more Ghostbusters, especially because Ghostbusters Afterlife was so good. Because they captured the spirit of Ghostbusters so perfectly that I now trust them with my life. Okay, maybe not my life, but I'm very excited. So this movie is I should tell you who's in it and everything in the plot line. When the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. Returning from the afterlife are McKenna Grace, Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, Celeste O'Connor, and Logan Kim. Returning from the original two Ghostbuster movies are Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, Bill Murray, Annie Potts, and William Atherton, Walter f***ing Peck himself. And then new to the cast are Kumail Nanjiani from The Big Sick and Patton Oswalt from The Goldbergs. I know Patton Oswalt's from other stuff, but that was the most recent thing he did, where he did a lot of episodes of it. But okay, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Everyone who has seen this beforehand, who has been a fan of Ghostbusters, says this feels like if they made a movie from the real Ghostbusters cartoon. This captures the spirit of not just a Ghostbusters movie, but the Ghostbusters extended universe. We have the same cast coming back who crushed it. McKenna Grace was fantastic, and I'm excited that podcast is coming back, even though it's cringy as f***. I still thought he was really good. Celeste O'Connor was great. Like, this is a good cast. Paul Rudd is amazing. And then we get the original people back, everyone except, unfortunately, Harold Ramis, because we know he passed on, and Rick Moranis, who I'm not sure if he was offered to return, but if he did, he's not coming back. Hopefully, this movie does really well and looks really cool and just really fun. Maybe he'll return for the third one. Oh yes, this is directed by Gil Keenan, who has directed movies like Poltergeist, the 2015 Poltergeist, and Monster House from 2006. Oh, he did A Boy Called Christmas from 2021. I really liked that. That was a Netflix original Christmas movie. And he was a writer of Ghostbusters Afterlife. So this movie was put in his hands by Jason Reitman. Jason Reitman was the director of the first one. Jason Reitman and Gil Keenan worked on the script for this. So we know that Jason Reitman is still heavily involved. What do we know about this movie? Spoiler free, of course, because I haven't seen it and I can't tell you what it's about beyond what we saw in the trailers. But we know that the Ghostbusters, or someone, maybe not them, but someone, unleashes something. Some ancient evil that can control ice. We've seen shots of New York covered in ice. We see Janine Melnitz suiting up. I can't wait. I am so excited. I might cry. And no, I'm not exaggerating. I am so emotional talking about how great Ghostbusters is in general, let alone how great this is going to be. Hearing the Ecto-1 siren fills me with joy. And remembering the amazing feeling of watching Afterlife in 2021 and just seeing everyone back again and just seeing Gozer and that final confrontation at the farm. And it was just such a good movie that I can't say enough about how great it was. And that movie was setting up what's going to happen in this and hopefully the third one. Because even though we know who the Ghostbusters are, this is kind of an origin for who the new Ghostbusters are going to be. But now we have William Atherton, we have Walter f***ing Peck as the mayor of New York. So the mayor, once again, is going to be adversarial to them. Because Walter Peck hates him some Ghostbusters. I'm so excited. I need to stop. I'm going to stop. I'm going to cut this episode off right here. Because I can't keep going on about this. I 11 out of 11. F***ing 1,000 out of 11. This movie, I'm so, so excited. I am prepared for this to be lesser than Afterlife. I am. I'm prepared for this movie to be less than Afterlife. So in my ranking of the Ghostbusters film, I'm fully expecting it to go from best to worst. Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, Ghostbusters Afterlife, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, Ghostbusters 2016. And I still love Ghostbusters 2016. You watch your damn mouth. But even though I'm prepared for it to be not as good as the other movies, I'm still going to love this. My future friends, this is a movie that makes me so happy movies exist. Things like this make me so happy I get to experience these things. And I hope you have an experience like that soon, because I've now had two in the past 5 years. I still cannot watch Ghostbusters Afterlife without getting emotional. I'll tell you what, next episode, I will tell you how much I love the film, or I will be crushed beyond repair and tell you how sad it made me. But I have a feeling it's going to be good. My future friends, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to my Ghostbusters rant. I really appreciate you sticking around. I appreciate any listeners I still have. Don't forget to check out my TikTok, where I'm a little more active, because it's much, much easier to record a less than 10-minute video and edit that than it is to make this show. But I will keep doing this show because it's what I love. Be sure to check out the Friends of the Show, the Somewhat Nerdy Podcast. A radio podcast, sorry, and We're Doing Fine with Robbie and Lisa. Loving Friends of the Show, very supportive Friends of the Show. And my friends, no matter where life takes you, no matter what your week has in store, just take some time to catch a flick. I'm Billiam from Somewhat Nerdy, signing off, and I'll see you in the future.